A very good evening and welcome here to Terrace Talk, Tim Moynihan, sitting in for Ivan Hurley this evening. And we've a busy show, as per always, on a Monday evening for you, the listener. And of course, what a weekend it's been, on and off the field. And, well, when we have, I suppose, a Golden Globe, and likewise, Young Scientist of the Year, amazing games at Croke Park. And I'm not asking anybody out there if they were at the Golden Globes, but if they were at any of these games in Croke Park or any other event, of course Kerry playing in the McGrath Cup as well, please do not hesitate in contacting our show this evening. Of course, later on the show we'll be chatting about the big game the weekend in basketball. Of course, Garvey's Warriors in a National Cup final. They've been at the business end with the last number of years. Well, now a chance which I suppose could set off a brilliant weekend for Kerry, because Dingle, of course, are out in the senior club final against St. Bridget's of Roscommon on the Sunday. So I'm sure there's plans being made to travel to the capital, stay overnight, watch the basketball, stay overnight and head to Croker the following day. But what a brilliant weekend it's been here. We'll also chat about hurling as well. There's a couple of games now played, the pre-season competition, and we'll be chatting just after 7:30 in relation to that. I'll be joined in studio by John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, and we're going to try and get a member of the Ungaeltacht camp on the line so as we can chat. And what a brilliant, brilliant weekend it has been. And congratulations to both Ballymacallaghet and likewise the Ungaeltacht side. A clean sweep of cups the weekend. And I suppose it's a great time. It's always a great time to be from Kerry. But when you hit the headlines and win a national titles and international titles, well, we do document it. And that's where we start this evening. As I said, I'm joined by our resident guests, and that is John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. John Kennedy, looking at the overall picture first, and it's been well promoted here in our own station all day, of the achievements of Kerry people and Kerry teams. It doesn't come around every other year, and we have to engage and I suppose embrace it when it does happen.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal weekend, Tim, in sport and in the arts and in at the Young Scientists. It's fantastic, and I think it shows and it portrays what Kerry people do, how successful they are, and you know the talent we have in this county. You know, Jesse Buckley last night was a phenomenal success. Huge boost to Kerry and to Killarney. I suppose Adrian winning the Young Scientist. And all the other young people who went up there from Kerry. My own daughter Catherine was part of the present, the Stole. They had a group up there. They're all winners in their own right. But the winning was a fantastic, you know, she's been lauded today for her vision. And, you know, I suppose anything to deal with cancer is something that touches everybody's lives or every family's lives. And it was a huge victory again. And then on the sporting field, you know, what can you say about Ballymac and Ungaeltacht? What a weekend. It didn't matter how they were won, about winning and the Cups coming home.
And Liam, that's where we start with the Ballymacallaghet game. The one thing, and you've probably seen more of Ballymacallaghet than I have, and unfortunately, I suppose, when it's great to have so many clubs involved, but we can be everywhere. But you were down for that All-Ireland semi-final as well. And I suppose what they've done right throughout the season, they've improved step on step.
They have, Tim, and basically this didn't start this year. This has started probably about two years ago. So they're on year three. They've gone through a lot of pain, a lot of hardship on and off the field. And I think yesterday it all came to the fore, and it was fantastic. And I suppose being a St. Kieran's man, and you know, they're one, as I say, when a Kerry man wins, we're all one. They're all one of our own. But when I suppose when it's closer to the home, when they're just, you know, Pats O'Corra touching Ballymac, so we'd say it was a fantastic win, and it's great, and it's great for the people of the parish.
Absolutely. And we're going to change games for the minute, but I suppose to talk about celebrations. I'm not sure. I'm sure he'll tell us where he is on the map. Are they at home? Are they still on the way? And I'm delighted to be joined by former Kerry captain, former Kerry great. He's now Cathaoirleach of Ungaeltacht, and that is Dara O'Kinnaid, of course, part of the management team as well yesterday. Good evening, Dara.
Good evening, lads. How are you doing?
Good. You're very welcome to Tara's Talk, Dara. Dara, where are you at the minute? Right now,
Jim, we're in Garinador, the first stop. Coming west, Lisboa had a bonfire outside their local Anthony Sullivan's Hospital in Garinador. We just stopped off, jumping back in the bus now and heading for Dingle, hoping to have a quick point in Fergus Flaherty's pub in town. I suppose the watering hole of all West Kerry football before we head back to Colliras, our own headquarters, and back to Ballinaul after that.
Darry, have you time to, I suppose, engage with all that's happening? I know that the euphoria, the inside in the dressing room, likewise on the field, the music, the culture, the language was all put together again. Is it like a weight off your back capturing a national title, a club title, because you come so close before? It's intermediate yesterday and you won it.
Yeah, it is really. You know, we didn't plan for this at the start of the year. We played the entire Kerry Championship, you know, missing players. Every day we went out, we were missing players. And just that we felt that we got a bit lucky against Knievegill in the quarter final, and it just took off from there. But we got quite a bit of wind in our sails, you know. But never in our wildest dreams did we imagine this day. Like, you know, and I suppose so often you'd be driving the road up and down the country and you pass places like Broston and you'd see a sign outside, you know, on the road between Abbey Field and Castle Idle, pointing toward Broston, Junior Champions 2015, you'd say, wouldn't it be great to be able to say that as a club? And thankfully, we're able to say that now. And, you know, Kerry clubs have a great, great record in these competitions. And, it's, you know, people might crib and give out about it, our structures and everything else. But, you know, we get an awful lot right in Kerry when it comes to football. And it's just very, very proud that we've joined that kind of elite club now, that we've joined that elite club. We just had a stop in Rathmore near earlier, and it's only 3 years since Rathmore won this thing. They beat us in the county final on their way to do that. Like, and, you know, to be talking to them, and they know exactly what it entails as well. Like, and already you're kind of looking forward and saying, look, what kind of a senior club will we be next year and all that. Like, tonight, you know, the celebrations are ongoing and people are really, really enjoying themselves. And there's a great reward in that in itself, to see the young lads, and they are some of them very, very young, just to see them enjoying themselves, and, you know, young kids around the place, and hopefully being inspired maybe by, you know, what happened on the pitch yesterday. Probably wasn't the greatest game ever, but, you know, it was a great win altogether.
Dara, I can't keep you too long because I know you're ready to rock and roll again and really engage with those celebrations, but you're a fierce man of love of your area. You love the language, you love the culture. I suppose football can be a vehicle for that identity as well, and I suppose you reached the promised land yesterday.
Yeah, look, we have a big area back there, sparsely populated, many challenges, like there's a lot of rural areas in Kerry have, like, you know, and we're just facing down them challenges one by one. Football points us together. Football all over the winter gave 37 young lads an excuse to go to Colliras or over to Killarney Legion as we were training in the dark night, you know, to get together and to do something positive with their lives, and that's what the sport is all about, really, isn't it? Like, you know, that you just want these young lads to stay together, play together, and celebrate together tonight as well. Like, and this is something, I suppose, that they won't forget. You know, something that they'll cherish forever.
Dara, what's the plan for the evening? I know you say you're going to Fergus's in Dingle. Obviously, you're going back to your own home place. That there'll be a sense of pride once you go behind back past the Milltown Bridge.
That will be huge. Going past Milltown Bridge. You know, there's a kind of a circle all around Dingle Town that would be Dingle territory, and the best of luck to them next Sunday. I mean, what the journey they're on as well is very similar to our own. It's magical, magical, and we all hope that the circle is completed after Ballymax heroic yesterday and our own, that Dingle do it as well. Like, you know, but once we pass out, you know, over Milltown Bridge and head west, you know, we'll be back into the hills, and there'll be a few bonfires around the place, I'm sure, and we're going to get together in Colliras, give the young lads a chance to see, you know, in Colliras, you know, where they train, that these lads kind of have produced a bit of magic, and you know, that possibility is there for them as well. We have four young lads, and, you know, in a year or so time, we'd love to welcome them into the senior ranks, but just to give them that hope and that thing that, you know, that, I suppose, vision, like, for themselves, that there's a pathway there now that you can actually achieve something in the Gaelic Colours, and that's what we want. To tell them this evening in Colliras.
And finally, Dara, you give us some great days in a Kerry jersey. You went up the Hogan Stand, lifted the cup. What weight? I know you're a man to park things, and you're a modest guy. But for you, how heartening is it for the overall achievement? And I know you're a man trying to build your club, protect your club, and for your club to have a future.
Aaron, look, we're a brilliant club. I met Tommy Jim at the dressing room, or at the Killarney station there now, and Tommy's 70 plus years of age. And all the work that he does and he puts in, anything that wants needs to be done, when there's a need for action, Tommy Jim will get the job done. And you see grown men like him with tears in their eyes. It just means so, so much. And jumping back on the bus now again, you might notice the change in eyes. Like, but it just means so much to so many people like that, to see so many grown men cry, like, that have put so much into the club over the years. And, you know, maybe didn't have the rewards for it that we're getting, like, but, you know, thankfully we have a management team in place now that engages with the game very, very professionally. And, you know, we've had the results of it today.
Dara, thanks a million for taking... I know it's difficult because it's a day of celebration and to be speaking to the likes of us, but I really am delighted, and everyone here on Radio Kerry Sport is delighted. Enjoy the celebrations, and hopefully, I'm sure I'll meet you the weekend anyway. Thank you, Dara. Tafalter Road. That is Dara Kennedy getting an applause for being on Radio Kerry there. I'm going to go back to the Ballymacelligot game, but Liam... I have him tipped as a future county board chairman. Yep. And I think for all the right reasons, in the sense he loves obviously his own area of the county, but he's such a guy that takes pride and
passion.
If you have a chairman of any organisation, he has to have a vision. This man had a vision going back, and I remember doing an interview some years back, and there was nobody behind. We were behind in Gallus. It was a cold, wet day, and underneath a canopy right outside the dressing room, he gave me an interview. And the insight, the way he spoke with pride of place, and I'm not talking about the chairman of the county board in the sense that he will be one, but he has just got it.
He has, yeah. Look, if there's any meant to be an ambassador for Kerry football, it is Dara. Always was, even when he was playing. I remember playing against him and playing with him. You know, he was a gentleman. And when he spoke, everyone listens. And to this stage, you know, he's even that interview there, you know, he's so exact and
controlled,
and, you know, loves his tradition and everything that goes with it. And I'm sure, I suppose, we can't be let the moment go. A good friend of his who probably would have been above yesterday with him, and Jordy Murphy in Castle Island.
Correct.
Because I remember Jordy, when he was over, it was all the Gaeltacht. You know, I know he looked after the surrounding areas, but it was the Gaeltacht, and that came down because he had such passion for Dara and the Irish language back there. He used to love going back there. So he was one man who I thought of yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I saw the Gaeltacht win, that he would really have loved
he
that.
Would really have engaged with social media,
exactly,
putting up stuff.
And he was definitely above looking down. But getting back to Dara Kennedy, what could we say? Like I said, he's an ambassador for Kerry football.
Absolutely, and I know you concur with that as well, John Kennedy. And just, you're actually taken in, and I'd have interviewed a fair share of people, and great people, and maybe greater again, but over the years. But he's so composed, so controlled, and he delivers real content when you're chatting to him.
Yeah, you're spot on, Tim. And it's no coincidence, look, that the Gaeltacht are on the rise, and Dara is chairman, or Cathaoirleach, of the coming back there, because he's a guy that has tremendous respect. You can hear the passion in his voice, and we saw him interviewed over the last number of weeks, what it means to him, what his club means to him, his people and his area. And that's, there's no beating around the bush. His own people, and he mentioned there Tommy Jim, and I suppose the likes of Liam O'Rourke and the late Tom Crowley, Connell's father, and Michal O'Shea, and all these great people. But you need a leader, and he's got a tremendous group. Look at their management team. Look at the quality. And the team have responded, but it's he's leading by example. He's a top guy and a very unassuming guy. Dara is number one.
And what he's doing every time he speaks, and we're not saying this is all about Dara Kennedy, but like you say, you must have a face to the whole thing. He's very much respected, and that respect went down along the line with his fellow selectors, Fergal O'Shea, who did a brilliant job as well, the players. And because I mentioned, we'll go back to the Ballymacelligot thing after I just say this, that after their semi-final in Páirceachaoimh, I went down to, they were celebrating, I was nearly late for the Dingle game because we were commentating. Of course, the other game went to extra time, but I went down, and the concertina Mr. Begley was playing at Blow in the dressing room, but every player was in his respective seat where he togged off, and there was players sitting on the floor. But the respect they gave to the man playing, normally when you have to win and get into an All-Ireland final, you'd be up, you know, nearly breaking the bulbs. But the respect they showed for that man when he was playing. Then when it was all over, they jumped up and said, but I think that that comes from leadership.
Does, Tim, and even his little speech there about the younger players that they're going back to Gallarus now, like they're creating the tradition that we have here in Kerry, but they're creating their own tradition behind. So you're going to have youngsters that are going to be looking up tonight and say, we can do that too. And Dara just said it. You know, that's what he's trying to build, and he's trying to build something bigger than what he's after doing already. And that's a great sign of a man.
Now, very important, we go back to the Clare Éire O game against Ballymacallaghan. They were first up this weekend. Hopefully we're hoping what will be a treble. Talk to me about the first half, John, that, you know, you were up against a Tyrone side that will bring a lot of intensity, I suppose a lot of defensive effort. You could say in the first half that Ballymacallaghan didn't do themselves justice, but the big thing for them, they went in at half time, just 2 points down, not playing to the standards that we normally see of them.
Yeah, they weren't themselves, Tim. There was maybe a little bit of nerves. The passing wasn't just sticking. You know, Éire Óg were a threat, particularly their centre forward Kieran Bogue, who was he's a fantastic footballer. You know, he was causing a lot of problems for them. You know, they had five wides in the first half. Ballymac, you know, Dara Brodgick got injured. Dan O'Shea, the fullback. Dara returned. Dan didn't. Dan was a huge loss. Shoulder injury. You know, things didn't look. They didn't look great for them. And you know, I suppose in the 23rd minute, Bogue had a great goal chance, where football he danced his way through. And when it looked his, the hard work done, he kicked the ball wide. Yeah. That was a huge turnaround. And as you said, to win 2 points down, having not played well, you know, it was an advantage to Ballymac.
Definitely so. We'll take our first break of the evening. We'll continue after the break speaking about that Premier Junior final in Croke Park.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Tim Oyne sitting in for Ivan Hurley this evening. Very busy show, and it's great to speak to Dara Kinnaird, of course, member of the management team of An Gaeltacht, and likewise Cathaoirleach of An Gaeltacht. Well, now we change to the Ballymacallaghan side of things to speak to somebody. He's not just somebody, he's the manager, and he's a bail man, and his name is Ian Blake. You're very welcome to Terrace Talk, Ian.
How's it going? Thanks very much.
Ian, tell me all about it. Yesterday, I suppose, the joy of, I suppose, seeing all the hard work, you, the management team, players and panel, reaching, I suppose, the promised land.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's probably a long road. It's 3 years in the making. If you go back 3 years ago, we lost out to the stall there an extra time after going to point up with probably 4 or 5 minutes gone in injury time. We thought we might have got over the line that day, but look, it was a long road, but we got there in the end, so it was amazing. Like, the community, they all bought into it. Like, the scenes were unbelievable. It was a pleasure to be involved in it, to be honest, yeah.
You know, I always have to ask, you know, fine, we'll speak about the players and the panel in a second, but you have to surround yourself with people that know their football as well. And I suppose your management team, Tony Sills, Michael Broderick, Gino Keefe, Brendan Guiney, Russell Stallman there, and likewise Anthony O'Leary. What do these guys bring to the table, and put them all together? Because it's very difficult to do this job on your own.
Oh yeah, it's a team effort, like, in all fairness. Like, I'm only a small cog in the wheel, if you want me to be honest. Like, it's Anthony O'Leary there, like, the knowledge that fella has is unbelievable. He has letters after his name. Like, what he does, like, in training wise with the physical side of things is unbelievable. Like, he had him ready to go the last day, so like, he deserves a lot of credit. We brought in Brendan this year probably because we were very good going forward, but we might have been leaking a bit at the back, so we brought in a bit of Brendan's knowledge, a bit of steel, if you want to call it that way. He shore things up. And look, the other lads, like Gene and Tony there, like they're phenomenal what they do. Like, and Mike Bradrick, his football knowledge is unbelievable, and probably a bit of his background in basketball
does help.
I think the game has gone that way now. Like, so it's like I can't give the boys enough credit. Like, they've been unbelievable.
And Ian, I suppose the role of a manager at the highest level, and when you're in Croke Park, it is the highest level, but now that you're just managing the management team to manage the players, because as I just said, that you can't be the guy bringing out the cones, the balls, going through the different drills. Everyone has a job.
Yeah, the boys will be laughing at me. I'd say a manager now is a facilitator more than anything else. I wouldn't be where I am without those. Let's say they're phenomenal. Like, every, as I just said, I'm only a small cog, but they all have their role to play, and you know, if you take one of them out of it, it falls apart. And
that's a nice compliment to those guys. The game yesterday, what are your thoughts going in at half time? And we were just kind of at the start of the program, we were chatting about Ballymacallagher, the first half. You probably didn't do yourself justice, but on the same token, how important was it going in just that 2 points down? Because you didn't play to your full potential in that first half. And that's, you have to credit the Clare Aeroke side on that department as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, like, I actually thought we sat it very well. We came out of the box, I thought we were very good. We had Jack Joyce scored a massive two-pointer, and we got it. It was knocked off for a three-up breach, which it was. So it wasn't like it wasn't unfair anything. But I thought we went 5 points to one up. Then we were actually doing very well, but we had trouble with their kick out. They were going short the whole time, and it was creating an overlap. But they got in top of us for a big period there. They were strong. Like, we knew they were going to be strong, but I think we went in half time, we're 2 points down. Look, we haven't been in Croke Park before. The wind is very strange up there.
I see that in both games, actually. Interesting now, because you were down at ground level, Ian. I want to ask you about that. Even where we were up in the Hogan Stand, level 7, Ambrose and myself, the wind was blowing from right to left down towards the Hill 16 side. But then we were looking at times, it swirled the other way, and it kind of swirled into the canal end.
Yeah, because it's funny you said it. No, because I was having a chat with Derek Key before he went up for the task, and we were trying to figure out what it was going, and we thought it was going the other way at first. But we ended up playing against it. We won the task, and we ended up playing against it. But like, we were in 2 points down, especially, look, probably half-time came for a good time for us. Probably Clare would have liked not to see half-time because they were getting a purple patch. But we went in and we reset, and look, be honest with you, I knew the boys, they were so focused. I've never seen them as tuned in as this before. So like, 2 points down half time against the wind in Croke Park, you probably take that beforehand.
Absolutely. And the most important thing in that third quarter, then, Ian, get scores on the board, and you started off the way you wanted to start. And for the first time in the game, after, I don't know, was it 6-7 minutes, you found yourself in the lead.
Yeah, like, we came out and we turned the 2 points into 2 points down into 2 points up. And I don't know, I might be wrong when I say it, but I just felt psychologically, Clare started, I won't say panic now, but they...
You planted a seed of doubt anyway in their minds.
Yeah, because we were starting to win all the 50-50 breaks, and we were coming out with balls they missed, they got a few wides, and look, we know it better than anyone. When you start kicking a few wides, they create more wides. So, but like, our lads were phenomenal there in the second half. Like, our half back line were just,
yeah, absolutely. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And Tyke Brick came into the game, and likewise Michal Reedy attacking there. They were playing more like half forwards. And the big thing, I suppose, you came to, I suppose, the achievement, or arrived at the achievement of, I suppose, stopping Kieran Bogue, the guy in the 40. And I thought he played closer to goal in the second half. And myself and Ambrose said it as well, that when he played a deeper role running at you, he caused you more problems. But Tyke Lord had sent the back in that second half.
Yeah, well, like, we, of course, we had him pinpointed before the game, but we knew he kind of drifted in and out from centre forward to in full forward at times, and the full forward would drift out. So
that's Mark McConnell.
We didn't want to take Tyke out of centre back, like, because he's a minister for us, like, not just defending but going forward. But we changed it after maybe 15 or 20 minutes maybe, and we put Owen Creedon on number 11. We just give him the role of just him then. And I actually thought, like, no disrespect to Tighe, what he was doing, but it actually freed up Tighe. And Tighe got into the game massively then. So
absolutely, absolutely. And you have a lovely balance as well, Ian. The likes of Jack Joy and Martin McGivergan, absolutely lovely footballers, love space, and the space of Croke Park opened up for them at times, and they really hurt this Clareagh Oaks side.
Yeah, and it's sure. The big thing, like, we were going up to a park. We were trying to keep it as normal as we could, like, but the likes of Jack Joy and Martin, nothing fazes them. And, like, Owen Moriarty there in the back line of it, I thought he was a minute.
Yeah, brilliant. But,
like, three 18-year-olds, it was just like playing outside in their own pitch. They didn't fear him at all. Like, they were minutes. And actually, Martin got an injury when we were playing Gaelic in the challenge match earlier in the there just before Christmas, and he took a shot early in the game and he followed it in and he went down, but, like, he kind of popped something in his shoulder and he just played through it the whole game.
Yeah, but yeah,
and his hand after the game.
There's all little stories, side stories. When the final whistle then went, I suppose there was relief and the achievement. Nobody, I'm sure, I heard Derek Kinnaird on earlier, Ian, I don't know if you were listening, but he was on about there's a, like, the sign out in Brosna when they became junior champions. And I suppose when you go into the fabulous club house out there, and you can see all the photos along the wall of their achievement. The big thing, nobody can take this away from Ballymacallaghet, but outside of that, for the future, you're now going to intermediate. You have a young team, a lot of players, big numbers. I take it all the management team are staying together for 2026.
Well, there's that in finalised yet, like, but we'd be hoping to, but we have to sit down and talk to the hierarchy, as they call it. But look, whoever's over the team next year, like, the bunch of players are phenomenal. Like, and, you know, you have more coming through again next year, you've won Joy coming into it. Like, they're phenomenal. What you call it, like,
correct. Yeah, absolutely. That's what you were looking for. Before I let you go, Ian, and massive congratulations again on the achievement, because it's hard to win in our own county. You go off, win Munster, win the All-Ireland title. But there's one young man we have to mention, and I suppose it really brought together that GAA community and that spirit and that support. And, of course, Tony's a part of your management team, but Luke Sills. And I'm sure it was in the minds of all those players yesterday that ran out onto Croke Park, and it was like having the extra man in the sky, I take it, and I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah, look, it was an awful tragedy. Like, you know, it really hit a lot of our, well, obviously it hit all of them, but like those young lads we talked about, Jack and Noah and Martin and all these, and there's a couple more on the panel, they grew up with him. Like,
right.
You go back to the county championship there, we were training before the first round of it, and, you know, he didn't want to put pressure on Tony. You didn't know, we went to ask him, was he coming back or whatever, but we turned around and there was a person up in the stand, and I said, geez, I said, well, that's Tony above there, and he came down, and, like, the words he spoke to the boys that night, he came down, he's into the group, there was tears, there was laughter, there was joy, like, there was, all the emotions were there. But I think it just galvanised us, it kind of set us on our path that day. And look, Luke has been with us ever since, in all fairness, then.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Look, it brings a bit of light to those people, like.
Absolutely, and I suppose
it's only a game of football.
There's more things important than football, but also football brings it together as a community. Look, all we can do is wish you all massive congratulations. I'm sure the celebrations are still going on. And from a personal point of view, and I know there's another man here in the studio as well, Ian, we'll be barring a few of those players as well for the under 21 county championship, St. Kieran's, just to let you know in time.
We might be out on our own. We'll have to
start. Yeah, well, one step at a time. Yeah, the very best look for the year ahead, Ian, and a massive congratulations.
Yeah, look, thanks very much, I'd say.
That was Ian Blake. I suppose massive achievement, and it's a great feeling as well. John, you were in Croke Park with minors, you came very close, but be it a club, be it you were there, won All-Irelands as a player, but it's a massive achievement for a manager, because nowadays a manager, it's a results game. We can see it. There's managers moving right, left and centre. Now Ian Blake has that on his CV. He managed a team to win an All-Ireland.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Tim, about it. Ian is, he was a fantastic footballer himself with Beale and with Shannon Rangers, great kicker. And, he done great work with Beale, still involved at underage level with them, and highly respected as a coach and a trainer. But like you said, he got great people behind him. There's a lot of pressure when you go outside your own club and when you go into a club. There's an expectation of winning. And in Ballymac, you know, it's not a secret that they were so close. And, you know, the Listowel game that he mentioned was probably one of the best club games in the county for many years. But they came out of the wrong side. But to take a team to Croke Park, and you can hear the emotion during the week, and you could hear it yesterday and again there in Nean with Luke Sills, and, you know, people spoke about Johnny Breen and Aidan and all the connections, all the people that are gone. It's raw emotion. It's going to Croke Park and it's winning. And, you know, that's history for Ballymac.
History. Liam, the second half then, and I just mentioned there to Ian that it's fine you're going 2 points down and you didn't play well, but you have to turn that coin, flip that coin, come out and play on instinct. They're good footballers that they prove right around the field. They're massive talent, and that's what they did in that third
quarter. But all year, and we said it the week before, like, the Croke Park would have suited Ballymac with the way they play, barred probably the semi-final, and we can go back to semi-final. They really dug that game out, Tim, and I think that was a game that kind of stood Tim going to Croke Park as well, because they had to do things in that game that they didn't do all year, in order to win dirty ball and get numbers back in defence and stuff like that. And you could see now the last, it didn't faze them in the first half. They hit a few bad wides, you know, they were caught for two breaches. And they still only went in 2 points against the Breeze down. So, but the minute they came out, you could see the attitude was different. Jack Joy just took off like a rocket. He kicked the pint. It got him going. I think was it within 6 minutes they had 5 pints kicked. They were 13-11.
And I thought, Donald, you know, when you're doing commentary, because you're constantly falling the ball, supposed to anyway, constantly be up with the play. But I thought Donald Daly was starved of possession.
He made a lot of runs.
He made a lot of runs. And Amherst alluded to it. And sometimes, you know, it must be in the ground to see what way that wind is. But if you're making the runs, you're taking a player out of possession and it's up to somebody else to run at another angle. But a lot of his play, I suppose, you won't see it unless you're falling, unless you're there. But he made massive runs and then he's 1-on-1 for the goal.
Yeah, and you see, that's the thing, and you try to teach youngsters. Don't make them runs. You mightn't get the first, hard second, runs, third, fourth or fifth, but he was eventually rewarded for all the effort that he got.
And, you know, and he was going for it.
And he was going for it. There was nothing stopping him. But Ballymac have them players, like with Dara Keane inside, Niall Collins, fast, nippy players. And the game has gone to a stage now where if you need forwards like that, they'll take their men on. And every time Ballymac took their men on in the second half, you know, it opened up for him. And they were able to create. Like, they missed a lot. Even Dara, probably, I know he got mad at a match. He could have came away with 1-3 or 1-4. You know, it just didn't go for him, but he kept going at it and he kept battling and he kept winning kickouts. You know, he was everywhere. But, like, it was.
And very desert. You're dead right, because he was the go to player for Christy Lean for the kickout. But one man, I, and we all have our own idea, and it's not a debate, we're having man of the match, but I thought when they were under pressure in the first half, I thought Carl right half. Carl Dunn was
excellent. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
He was absolutely brilliant. And at the end of the day, a forward gets it. But his forward play was different in the sense Dara was coming out. He was winning, and rightly
and
so.
And winning tough balls as well. Yeah.
But there are other players, and obviously their panel as well. One man, John, we were delighted for, and he soldiered with, and I'm going to mention St. Kieran's, because he's huge respect, as you well know, in all the clubs in the Kieran's district. Aidan Breen, and he actually togged out this year
and a quiet man.
But I think anyone that know him and the guys he played against, played with over the years, he's the father of the whole lot of those players, in the sense he's been around a lot long. You're delighted for players like that.
Ah, delighted. Look, I mean, it was a fantastic day in Croke Park for Ballymac, but for Aidan, kicked 3 points, you know. looking at it with the running he was doing off the ball, you'd say he'll never keep going, but he did. He showed his experience. He got in a few tackles, you know, got the hand in a few times, but huge experience and great day for him. But I thought him in the second half, I thought the half back line, Cathal Dunne was excellent all through. I thought Tadhg Brick's second half performance,
Mihal Reedy,
and Mihal Reedy. Brick was driving through that defence,
hurting.
He hurt him a few times. He went in with a few tackles, no nonsense defender, but I thought he was outstanding. And I thought Mihal Reedy, you know, the boys got the scores above, but that half back line was the linchpin. Owen Moriarty caught a kick out, and right at the very end, he put his body in the line and saved what was going to be a definite goal. Mightn't have made a difference to the overall score or the overall result, but that's how you win All Ireland.
And then they lost Dan Shea, and yeah. I don't think people realise Dan Shea would be like Aidan Breen. He was getting up the field a lot. He did it in the semi final as well. He broke a couple of vital balls around the middle of the field. Yeah. A huge loss, and he was throwing his body around the place. And he's a spiritual leader back there as well. He's the same as Aidan, really. He's probably one of the oldest on the team. But to be fair, Dylan Dunne went in there. And it was seamless.
Another guy, and days like that when maybe you're missing, it was very difficult to kick into the Canal in yesterday, even in both games, because there were serious players out the field and they were to negotiate that wind. But I thought he executed with precision a few free kicks. Dara Broderick, you know, to the right of the D, and he brings something else. And he got a heavy knock, but he still continued, and he's something special as well.
But he was, for me this year, he was the main man really that really has pushed on Billy Mack. I've been watching, I'd be good friends with his dad through basketball and through the whole lot to add, but Dara this year has brought something special to Billy Mack. He's got fitter, he's kicking scores, he's physicality. A big man around the middle of the field. You know, he's a leader there now at the moment from. And you know, I think they needed that around the middle, because we know with a lot of young fellas, you need a bit of strength and a bit of power, and he threw himself in that, and that was a bad bang that he got.
Yeah.
And you could see it affected him, but still at the same time, he was able to put it over the bar when he was needed.
Absolutely great stuff. If you have any comment to make, or you were at those games yesterday, or anything the lads are saying, or a question for our guests here in the studio, you can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, or call us on 066 712 3666, where Niamh is ready to take your call.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back here to Terrace Talk. The show's flying again tonight because because of our success over the weekend. And we were speaking to Ian Blake earlier, and the delight by him, his management team, and of course the whole Ballymacilligate parish to, you know, you say your team won an All-Ireland club title in your category. It must be a great, great feeling. Liam, going forward for Ballymacilligate, as Ian said there, it looks like they're going their own. It looks like Ian and the management team are staying. He said they're going to have...
It should be only right.
And it's only right. Yeah, if you know, you're reaching, you don't just walk away after. You're going up on another level. And look, that's up. Maybe you don't know what's going on. You could be busy elsewhere. But you'd expect everything to stay intact. But they have the quality and they have the resources to play at the next level in intermediate.
They have, and they have the numbers as well, Tim. But as we all know in Kerry, though, the intermediate's a competitive competition.
Oh, it's hard.
It's hard, yeah. And look, any level in Kerry is a hard level. But when you start moving up along the intermediates and senior, you know then where what your level is. So it'll be a good gauge for Ballymac now next year. I know they have a lot of young fellas, but at the same time, there's a lot of clubs out there. Look at Stacks and all these. Every club has young fellas. So when you start going up along the ladder, you'll see how good you really are.
Absolutely, and those texts and comments coming through to us. Terrace Talk, congratulations, Tom Gaelthuk, especially Aidan Walsh, Aidan Brannock, a grand fella, and that's come from a West Kerry caller. And yeah, Aidan is something special, and I tell you, he really added to Aidan Gaelthuk this year. Hi Tim, congratulations to Ballymac and Aidan Gaelthuk on their All-Ireland wins. It was brilliant to see Ballymac give Aidan Gaelthuk the guard of honour as they came onto the pitch yesterday. And that comes from Charles, and you're dead right, Charles. It was a lovely touch, one Kerry club supporting another. Hi Tim, It was a great weekend for Kerry and also for the McGrath Cup. Tony Brosnan had a great game and it was great to see him kicking two-pointers. We need at least three or four Kerry fellas to be able to kick two-pointers for the league and for the championship. And that comes from Eilish in Tralee. Yeah, I agree totally. Not to be totally dependent on the Shawnee O'Shea's and likewise the David Cliffords. Hi lads, congratulations to both Kerry clubs on great wins yesterday. But I hope I never see a game like the intermediate final again. It was an awful watch. And that comes from Patrick in Kilcoman. Yeah, absolutely. And you could try and commentate on it, Patrick. And it was very, very testing. And we're going to be moving on very shortly to speak about that on Gaelic game. Good evening, Timmy and the lads. I was in Croke Park yesterday and it beat all. They ran out of match programmes for our All-Ireland final midway through the first game. Well done to both teams yesterday. And that comes from John Creedon, top of the Coombe Kilgarvan. And John, of course, is a massive, massive club supporter and likewise a Kerry supporter. He goes the length and breadth of Ireland. And you're absolutely right. That shouldn't happen. The biggest occasion of the year for clubs. And they claim about, well, they need more money, but if you have programmes, you will get more money. And, well, it's probably not good enough at that level.
Tim, if I may, I just got a text there. It's amazing, the connections. And Michael Gittu Nasty there, a neighbour of my own. Just an information on Tyke Brick. His son, he's a son of Maureen McElligott, formerly from Asti. His granduncle won an All-Ireland medal in 1957 with Galway. Jack Cassan, Kilomi Rolla Zelton.
Oh, a lovely piece.
History, it's amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And a smile in your face as well, as you mention Asti. Yeah. Well, you're in. I'd say that text came about 2 hours ago.
It's one of his own.
You'll never forget but your own, Tim. That's a nice one there from Anoia, in fairness.
And before we chat about Dungarth again, you would agree with Liam as well. They have the numbers, but it's a huge step up to intermediate. As other clubs that won the junior in the past, some clubs can dip a little, you know, if they've reached it. But you, if you have numbers, you can and talent, which we can see that they have, they can do things special.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt they have the talent, they have the numbers, but it's about driving on. It's another level. But look, they won't worry about that tonight or for the next few weeks. You know, come the summertime, they'll have their injuries right. They'll be a tough nut to crack. But, you know, we spoke about it off air. And last night, Liam and myself, the number of teams that have won junior and gone on to intermediate and won, very few.
Only St Mary's and Artford.
St Mary's and Artford. Finogue were very close.
Yeah.
You know, but Artford were an exceptional team at the time. But look, best of luck to Ballymac. But it's about celebrating now what was a fantastic
enjoy
year.
Enjoy what they've done.
And enjoy it.
Absolutely, and I'm sure they will. And we wish that again, Justin, I'm sure it's echoed all day. And there's some great ads on Radio Kerry and flagging it all day about the success of Gaeltacht and Ballymacallaghan. And likewise, we hope that we'll be chatting the same way about next Monday evening about Dingle's performance. Moving to the Gaeltacht game. First of all, Liam, and it's getting, I suppose, massive, I suppose, publicity today. It was a dour game. That's but terrible. We have to reiterate, that was not the young Gaeltacht's fault.
Not one bit.
9 points to one at half-time.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a straight question? What did Glyn Ullan come to Croke Park for? And I don't mean that to be dismissive. But I couldn't see any pattern to their play. And what? And I'm going to jump the gun a small bit now because we went into the press conference or the post-match interviews after, and the manager of the Glyn Ullan side, and I think it's Michael O'Kane actually is the manager. And look, he was shocked as well because he said he couldn't believe that they were so poor, and he kind of pushed it over that this was a good Gaeltacht side. But one thing he said during the post-match and interviews, he said we felt coming into the game if we could keep on Gaeltacht to 12 or 15 points, they felt they would win the game. Now, I'm asking you here tonight, if you came down with that attitude, fair enough, defensively you say you have targets. We all know that the game has scientific approach now. But if you're doing that, you have to score the other
score
side.
Score the other in, Tim. You have to, yeah.
So, can I ask, and this is a question I will chat about in the second hour as well about it, are we overloading players with jobs? Are we overloading players with systems in the sense that you have to be at one? I saw one kick out yesterday in that game. And for the other side of the field underneath the Cusick, all the players went over there for a kick out. and it was a case of survival of the fittest. But if you had other players to drag players out into space, I know you'll say this is for another day, but I'm trying to picture it all again. The amount of times I said a fellow was solo in the one spot yesterday, and it was Gaelic boys, but purely because the boys went fully defensive.
Yeah, I suppose, Tim, the last time we saw that was, we were above in Croke Park, it was Kerry and Derry. No, we saw that type of a game, and I think the last time a team in an All-Ireland club final only scored 5 points was a team from Derry as well. So there's something not adding up there. To know, Derry seemed to be popping up. But like, they came, they didn't come to play yesterday. And like you said, they came to nullify the Gaeltacht, but they never went to try to win the game. And the way the game has gone now with the new rules, and I think that's why Kerry are going so well at club level and at county level, is because you have to go out and play football now. Because the day of putting 15 or 12
under new rules
behind the ball, you're wasting your time. But them fellas yesterday, like, even in the second half, Tim, they're still playing the old rules, and I suppose it'd be hard to change them because they're at it with the last 10 years. Even when they were in the second half, they were still down and they were still playing the same way. So now you have to throw the shackles off and go at it at some stage. But even with 5 or 6 minutes to go, they were still playing bodies behind the ball. You know, so it's a problem up there. I think they're still caught in that little the northern game, as we call it. But I think unless you know, and I think that was a good example for a lot of club managers now here in Kerry, that you have to go out and play football now.
Absolutely. And a quick word, I know we're going to be taking our break for the news very shortly, John. Could you coach and manage in the present day's game? In the sense that, why you say, it's changed from your time. I remember chasing you around the country when you were a minor manager, John. It's all changed. And when I hear numbers and codes, we were involved in a game in the not too distant past. There was numbers like 36 sent out to players, 25. It was like systems. Are you taking away from an instinctive player? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I suppose, Tim, it depends on how deep you go. But look, in Kerry, and I'd agree with Liam, the system and the new rules are suiting the footballing teams, and Kerry are one of those. They play football. They can adapt to any game. We have kickers. We can hold possession, like Gaeltacht did yesterday. But we have the ability to kick two-pointers to open up defences with sheer football. And football is the winner at the end of the day, and that's why the game as a spectacle has improved.
You never answer my question, John, but I'll catch you that on after the break. We'll now take a break for the news. And coming up, we'll have the Warriors. We'll be chatting and hurling. We'll now take the break for the news.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and coming up later, we will be speaking with members of the Garvey's Tralee Warriors as they make their way for the National Cup to Dublin. But John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan have stayed with us as we discuss, we touched on it before the break, the Ungerthic game of Blair versus Glyn Ullin. I know John Kennedy before the break didn't answer my question, Liam. I was asking about, could he manage in the current day? Because John, it'd be, I won't say old school, but I think he played under the great late Mickey O'Dwyer, a man that, I suppose, you outscored the opposition.
We're going back to that again, Tim.
Yeah, and that's the point I'm making. But
fitness.
And I'm looking at teams, and no different to Dingle last week, or a couple of weeks ago, when they forced extra time and won it. But I felt that Dingle were held back in the first half, in the sense that I suppose they had to put on, I suppose you have to have a system as well. You can leave the best players of the opposition beat you, but Ballyboden, St. Enda's, and then I felt, and I'm not sure you were looking closer, I'm sure, than I was, but I felt that Dingle threw off the shackles at half time. No different, and you can go back to
an Armagh,
Kerry and Armagh, mm-hmm. And yeah. Remember, we played in an under-21 final against Ossenstax.
Yeah.
And it's easy, we can say it now. We threw off the shackles and we said at halftime, lads, it's all yours. They went out and they played football and ran Ossenstax very closely.
But you have to have the ability to throw off the shackles.
Oh,
that's the
I
one
agree
thing
with
we
that.
Have in Kerry.
But the question I asked, not about directly, I was more direct with John, but today's game, it's you have defensive coaches, you have likewise attacking coaches. Are we gone too scientific? Because any good footballer, and this is my own feeling, and you know who I'm talking about as well at underage, Liam, instinctive footballers don't need to be told a whole pile.
They don't, Tim, and that's getting back to our point there again, that when you throw off the shackles, you have to have the ability to go, and we have that in abundance here in Kerry. And I understand your point. I do think that you can overcoach a team as well. And the way the football has gone now, the way the systems has gone, I think systems are going to go out the window very shortly in football, because you'll have to be able to defend one-on-one. There's no more looking for help.
Correct.
No. Before, and I was on the management teams, and I was managers of teams, and all I'd hear is, where's my cover, where's my cover? That day has gone now, Tim. Because if you can have it, but you'll be like the crowd yesterday, you'll get nowhere with it. You have to be able to defend one-on-one, and if you're a forward, then you'll have to be able to take your man on. That's the way football has gone. So getting to the point where can John Kennedy coach? Without a doubt. Any fella now with a football brain, and given 15 or 20 or 30 good footballers, he can do anything he wants.
No, I wasn't questioning John's ability, because John
I often did. But
thanks, Tim.
No,
I appreciate that.
I wasn't questioning. No, but what I was saying, that you'd find it so difficult, you'd feel that...
I think it's easier now, Tim, to manage a team.
Team X down the road, they've brought in such and such, Mr. X doing strength and condition. They have a defensive coach, they have an attacking coach, they have a guy that's solely on stats. And then you're trying to coach a team to play attacking football. Like Amber said, he was up in Croke Park the weekend, and he said he felt the cones were for a car park, that if you were doing a bit of work, if you were tarring the road or tarring the car park, and I know there has to be certain drills. But
you can overthink it.
It can be very frustrating, and we see it ourselves.
Yeah.
You go out for the warm-ups, and you see a team down near the corner flag in a space of about, I don't know, say 40 feet by 40 feet at the corner, just squaring it off, and inside in a tight area trying to get the ball out of that. Do you know, they put on different bibs, and they're trying to protect the ball and suddenly it's inside in that area. And then what I'm saying is that's instilled in that man's mind to play a tight game and looking for the fella beside him.
Yeah.
But is that a fair point?
That's changing, don't know.
It's changing. And I think you mentioned about the defensive coaches, and you're right, attacking coaches, but it's not so much a defensive coach to be negative. It's how to tackle properly.
That's the point.
I think that's their job. And if you needed an example about tackling, hand in, hand out, close marking, look at the Gaeltacht.
Yeah,
look at Paddy O'Shea, look at Keane O'Murrough, look at the two Begleys, Aina and Brian. Look at the way they got the hand in yesterday. When they got possession, they didn't give it away. That's defensive coaching. It's not about counting 13 behind the ball or 12. That day's gone.
But that happened yesterday.
It did happen. But it's about how to defend, and Liam said, the one-on-one. You're exploiting a defender on a one-on-one attack now, and that's what you're trying to do. So then the defender has to be confident in his own ability to mark that man without fouling him.
And that leads me on nicely. I know we're going to go back to the Gaeltacht, but it was so irritating and frustrating yesterday watching Glenullen, in the sense what they, because the Gaeltacht just controlled the whole game with Breno Beaglea just standing between, I suppose, the 45.
They were fantastic the way they managed.
But as a spectacle, if you want to keep your game alive, that I'm saying then that, you know, fast ball in. We said it several times just in the commentary that, you know, at either side of the field, that he wanted that forward one. He was making those hard runs.
Yeah.
He wants the ball. There's somebody else telling you then on the sideline, you kick the ball in to the corner forward, be it, say, I don't know, whoever's playing, Dara Keane, I'm on just picking a name now, and I'm not pinning Dara, but you kick the ball in, Tim. The defender was out in front of him. That means a red mark for you, Liam Brosnan. And are we killing it by saying that to a player then? Because a player, when he goes out in the field, the whistle is blown to start the game. If he loses possession, straight away he's nearly called to the line. And that's being honest, lads.
Yeah.
Because there's a guy telling him, look, a ball went in, 4 minutes of play, it went into you, you weren't out in front of the back, and likewise the fella shouldn't kick it into you in the first place. Is that still built into players?
It'll take a while. Well, I don't, and we're going to get back to what we see here in Kerry as well. We're adjusting to the rules way quicker
than
a lot of other counties, because we can, and the rules are footballers. And if you go back and play like that Derry team played like yesterday, if Cora go and play in the county league like that, you're going to go nowhere, because you're going to be picked off. Like Gaeltacht yesterday, it was outstanding. It mightn't be nice in the eye to watch it, but like, they were picking off the scores, they were holding the ball, yesterday, of all days, yesterday was a day to go after Gaeltacht, because they were held together with tape. Like, there was three or four of them carrying serious muscle injuries, and the boys sat back and left them walk around the halfway line. They should have came out at 100 miles an hour and see what Gael took her made of, but they just couldn't.
John, would you prefer to be a team beaten by 10 points, playing football, trying your heart out, throwing the kitchen thing, rather than playing? And I'm not picking on Glen, I'm sure there's other clubs that will do the same thing, but it just was so frustrating, and it did bring me back to that Derry game. And I think when you were doing, and Amberson and myself yesterday doing the commentary, it was so hard. It was actually draining, because not about the Gaeltacht in any way, they controlled it and you do what you have to win, but it's the way they were set up. And I was saying the new rules, and we got a comment in as well. Now, sorry, I'm going to the comments before I go to you, John. Tim, John and Liam, I thought the new rules were supposed to stop games like yesterday's. It was the game, I'm sure saying, one of the worst games I've ever seen in Croke Park to watch. I do think it suited Ungelthic regarding their injuries, but God bless yourself and Ambrose trying to commentate on the muck, and don't get me started on the foghorns. And we must touch on that as well.
Yeah, he's spot on. That listener is spot on, Tim. They did play within the rules. They had three men up. That's part of it. You can have 12 back. You have to have three up. But Tim, I think, you know, you have to look at, and Gaeltacht, Glenullen did. I mean, look at Salins. Yeah. Salins went toe-to-toe with Gaeltacht to the very end. Yeah. And they came out at the wrong side of a two-pointer.
But weren't we talking in a way that football was the winner?
What a game of football it was. Yeah. Now, Glenullen will be... I saw a comment last night by the great Paddy Bradley. It was an embarrassment. I think his son was involved in this. Yeah.
The players won't like
embarrassment.
This.
Players won't like it. No. And look, if they got another chance, would they go out and play football against them? Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Like Liam said, it's hard to adjust. But you have to... Tonight is about in Gaeltacht. You look at that management team. Look at the quality of on that sideline. Led by Kinnaird, Aidan, Conall Crowley, Fergal, Paddy O'Connor.
And the way they adjusted
And
to the
way
game.
They adjusted. Yeah. But then you look at the quality on the pitch you have. The Big Lakes, Aina, Brian, Cahill, Aidan Welsh. I thought Aidan Welsh had a fantastic 40 or 50 minutes yesterday. He put his body on the line.
Fellas knew he was around.
Can chalk it down.
Everything that
he
was
did. And like he led by example again. He's been a huge coup for the Gaeltacht this year. But I think one man who hasn't been mentioned too much, he's the unsung hero for me, PJ McLaugh.
Absolutely.
What an engine. What a distributor of the ball. Never gives the ball away. He's available all the time.
Does the right thing.
Absolutely outstanding. And I thought in the presentation of the cup with the young fella getting the mic, that was history.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Have we found a Kerry senior and, well, another Kerry senior footballer in Ian O'Bugley?
I think we have Tim and his and Cahill.
He's underage and Cahill as
Cahill,
well.
Cahill, yeah, like they're, but the way
I
they're built.
This week, yeah, no, yesterday we probably, because the way the game was played, we didn't see him in full flow. But and it's no different to several Kerry footballers, be Gavin White from his wing back or centre back position. Any player that can do something without effort, that he's not struggling and grimacing in the face, he does things the natural way.
Yeah, natural ability. You know, and all the Big Leagues seem to have that. If you look at Breen, like Breen never looks like he's under pressure.
No.
You know, even yesterday, you could spot that he was injured.
Yeah.
He was injured, but he was still able to make them bursts and still able to recover then again and go again. Just pure, very seamless.
Seamless, yeah.
Yeah, very easy.
I talked during the week when Fergal Shea heard him on Radio Kerry, he said three of the four will be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Liam and myself spoke after and we said, like, how are they going to be okay in a week? Like,
yeah.
But they were there and they were okay. And Tomás came on. But like as Liam said, were they there to be ran at yesterday and ask questions of their fitness?
That's what the Derry management team should have been looking at during the week instead of trying to get 12 men.
And then you think that when they were 9-1 going in at half time, we'd say, lads, you have to throw off the shackles. You have to go. But it was kind of more the same.
Gaeltacht had an 89% possession going in at half time. Like, I don't know, is there any game out there that you would have that position?
And then you'd feel it was damaged limitation. But it's just that when I heard that coming from the manager, I was saying, that man tried hard, to be fair. He didn't come to Croke Park yesterday to lose the game. But when he said, if we could keep the Gaeltacht at 12 stroke, 15 points, we'd feel that we have a chance of beating them.
We forgot about
that. But you have to get, and like the amount of possession, as you said, percentage-wise, 76% and 79%. There was one wing that I thought they did brilliantly as well. Kian O'Murcu and Padraig O'Shea. Padraig O'Shea ended up like a wing forward, John.
Yeah.
And clever play. And I thought the sweetest moment as well, like his late great dad that you played with, the late Paddy. gone up with the number five shirt up those steps of the Hogan Stand. Yeah. Something very special in that?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I heard the Fergal today on Radio Kerry again. He mentioned that, you know, the great PO, the number five jersey, that he went up that side, Lennoncourt Park, so many times himself. Paddy, you know, living under his father's name, always difficult for a son like that. But wasn't it great to see him doing it? And Keno Morricone, this has been the comeback kid, really. Suffered a very serious injury, you know, concussion, wasn't playing. I know his father, Paddy, and Uncle Kieran very well. Great GA men. And to see him in Croke Park yesterday and to see him, a photograph with the family up in the stand, that's what the GA is all about. You know, his day in the sun. Yeah. Was he going to play again? That was a question that was being asked. But I can tell you, he really kept that corner, particularly when Franz Sutherland was out with the injury.
Right, yeah.
He and he's another man.
Absolutely.
And he said, and I interviewed him, you know, on the press.
He had a great county final.
But he said it really hurt him every time. He was watching the boys inside. Yeah. He loved it, especially the journey they went on. Yeah.
And just him, another fillet in as well, was the man of the match, you could say, and the man that kicked the score in the semi-final, Aino O'Connor Coors.
Oh yeah,
like he had to play a different game yesterday. Yeah. Because he wanted the quick ball in, and but it wasn't coming into him. But he worked his socks off.
But they were able to do the transition well.
Exactly, they were. Yeah.
But I thought they're disciplined, Tim. You know, they mentioned 2004 quite a number of times. The hurt of Caltra, Aino got a red card, yeah. And the discipline yesterday was and the composure. And the concentration.
They learned from that time.
Exactly.
Dara was involved.
They knew what they had to do.
And playing the Moy as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have to rush into another break of the evening, but plenty more after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're so carried away with that game yesterday. Not about interesting, but intriguing in the sense, why would a team line out like that? But we're not taking away in any way from what the Ungaeltacht achieved. And those comments are coming through to us. And a huge congrats to Ungaeltacht from their neighbours from Castle Gregory and Clahan. They share a boundary at the top of Mount Brandon. And that's, I suppose, brilliant right through back west. The support for the Ungaeltacht team. And well done to Ballymac. For years, they were the punch bag of the county. Now, thank God, the young lads are writing themselves into the history books. Thanks to all the mentors who put the hard hours in with these young fellas over the years to get them where they are right now. Well done to Ungaeltacht also. Great day for Kerry football. And we all agree on those awards. The Ungaeltacht going forward, lads, they will be a powerhouse. They're ready for senior football, I take it. They have the numbers, no different to Ballymacallaghan.
They have the numbers. Like, was it 10 leaving steps came in this year? So they have a young squad. We're on about Ballymac, but the Gaeltacht. But not only the Gaeltacht, they have power. They have pace, like the big leagues. You look at Cahill Big Lake.
Yep.
I think my father said it to me yesterday. He was the closest thing that he saw to Dara O'Shea when we were watching the match. No, and when you looked at him, he was a big, strong man. And I thought Rory O'Begleek as well at number 11 was fantastic yesterday. No, he buzzing around the place, kicked 6 points.
Yeah.
The top 6 inches, we always say in a footballer. He's thinking, he's clever. I think it's shown in abundance now with the, I suppose, a football brain, John. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, he's a kicker, look. His instinct is to kick. He's a sweet kicker at that. And he got a heavy knock, but he played on. But, you know, 6 points in a tight game was a fantastic score. Was a return from any forward.
Lads, when you look at it, the Gaeltacht won't mind what way the game was played yesterday. And we see the way they celebrated. They went to a certain establishment today before they got on the train. It's, as you know, Liam, after winning their All-Ireland. And it came across in the interview there with Dara. It'll be a special moment once they go across the border, as they say, go back behind the Milltown Bridge and heading into the Gaeltacht heartland. It's their identity, Liam, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's huge. And I suppose we have seen that. I suppose the way the Irish and the music and the tradition that they have brought to the table and this campaign. And you know, it's and even above in that place in Dublin, Tim, today, you know, they had the music outside the door, and they were, you know, I suppose they bring everything that's good in life and in West Kerry tradition as well to the table, and the Gaeltacht brought that.
Changing, looking at the general, looking as an aerial view at the whole achievement of Kerry this year, and we hope that Dingle will do the same next weekend. John, is it that Kerry have adapted to the rules more. You must, as you, both you agreed on, you must have the players, but attacking football, something that we've been deprived of over the last 10, 15 years, and suddenly teams, and I know you touched on it, Liam, that other teams are kind of behind now because they're so used of that defensive, and we're using that word again, defensive effort in football where number of bodies back, but now we're seeing footballers.
Yeah, it's amazing, Tim, the whole works. When the Kerry Seniors win in All Ireland, everybody, it lifts everybody. But you look at the clubs then, you know, players go back. The Lazarin side on the extended panel, we've said this several times this year, how they have improved inside in Kerry training. The Cahalabeg Leagues, the Killian Trants, all these lads, the Eddie Healy's.
We saw Tuesday night above in Clare, Tim. The young team in the Rugby Cup.
Thomas Kennedy.
Very good footballers, yeah.
You know, what they do when they go back to their clubs. But I've said this here, Tim, a number of times, the quality of the football here in Kerry, the standard of competition, the competition that the Kerry County Board are providing for every club in the county, from Division 6 up to Division 1. Novice, junior, junior premier, intermediate and senior. What an array of competitions we have. Sometimes we give out, there's too many games. We had the envy of counties all over the country. I know when I was in Clare, you know, you have the Cusack Cup and you have the Championship. They're asking, how do you run the county leagues in Kerry? You have divisional leagues as well. You have this Championship, you have that Championship.
Look at our school's football.
Look at our schools. It's the quality of people involved. We've said this numerous times, Liam and myself, all over the county at games. Look at the management team, Kennedy, he'd say. Yeah. Look at the personnel you have there. The quality of player, the coaching that goes in, the level of football. It's brilliant.
You cued me up nicely, John, because a certain, well, a well-known guy in, at national level works off podcasts and without mentioning his name.
I know who we're talking about.
But he was very critical of the Kerry set-up because he was... Now, I'd love to have him on the programme. I might, well, if I get an opportunity when I'm on here again, I might interview him. But I leave the listeners guess who it is as well. But what he was saying, he was critical of the Kerry system that we have very few teams playing, as he said... senior football, that means it gives the ability of the teams that probably should be playing senior and not to play in competitions like the intermediate competition and the junior premier. What's your take on that?
Tim, that's his annual moan. He moans every year around this time of the year, about, especially if Kerry teams get in it. But like, it's not up to Kerry. We're doing something right down here. And I suppose the likes of that man can't forget either that. We have 39 All-Ireland senior medals. No, one down here.
Our system has served us well.
No, and we have damn good footballers down here at every level. No, we can go on, John, we watch under 14 matches, under 12 matches, and you can spot the guy, you know, that he's that football in him, and next you realise who his dad is, and you realise that this man is kicking, this young fella is kicking a ball off a wall for since he was 8 years of age, or he's around with the senior team since he was 8 years of age. No, so we can spot all that. So we've used tradition here in Kerry. So when he mourns like that, I just don't take no notice of it.
Yeah, and the red carpet was out for him down here during the summer. I wonder, will that be stripped away and he'll be walking on concrete? John, with that, we said we must have the footballers. Is there pressure now? We hope, and I still, and Dingle, I know they'll thank me for this. I think they have a right chance, but they have to do everything right next weekend. But with all this, does it put pressure on the Kerry management then to deliver this year? Because we're bringing all the silverware in. We have it at club level. You'd expect that can be only a bonus for the county setup.
Oh, of course, Tim, this is a huge bonus, and I think we've seen that already in the McGrath Cup. You know, you've seen Jack and the management, what they've done, the number of players they've used already. We're in the McGrath Cup final. In our predictions last week or 2 weeks ago here, we picked Kerry to win the league and the championship, and I wouldn't deviate from it. I think we have an embarrassment of riches at the moment. Thanks be to God, it's brilliant to see. Injuries will always take their toll, but look what we did last year. But I think what Jack has done is, the players that he's brought in, you can see the improvement. You can't come in from club to get on the Kerry 15 just like that. It evolves, and you have to take the step, and you have to strengthen and condition, you have to be built up for it. Because the lad at club level, is he physically ready for senior inter-county championship football? No. but there's a step to go. I think that the future is looking very bright and is continuing. It starts at Bunscoil. It starts with the coaches going out. And every club in the county, no matter how big or small, that Bunscoil, that school, getting them ready, getting the taste. And what they saw over the last few weekends in Munster and All Ireland will, in their mind, they want to be there. That's the beauty of this. Every young lad wants to get to Croke Park.
And that's true. It's from the very early age, you're in primary school, and we know all the great work that the GDAs do. I always say the club provide the raw material, and it's cultured, and it's like a nursery then in schools and moving on to post-primary schools, Liam.
It's huge, Tim. You know, and I suppose like that's why we're so lucky down here, and that's why I suppose the likes of the Derrys and all these, they don't have what we have down here. Like we have, is it 6 or 7 college teams going for the Munster the next day in Kerry down here? That's a high standard that these boys are playing, and that's a college level. No, our Sigerson Tralee team are doing all right. You know, so everything is, and like John said, when the county team wins the All Ireland, I suppose it lifts everything. But getting back to your point, does it bring pressure on a Kerry manager? Every Kerry manager is under pressure, no matter what level you are. If we're a Kerry manager, you're under pressure,
and you're under pressure at clubs.
Yeah.
Lads, we've to cut it there. Delighted to have. We could talk for hours about the real issues in Gaelic football. We don't. There are other disciplines as well. I want to thank you for joining us here on Terrace Talk tonight, and I'm sure you'll be in next Monday night speaking about hopefully what will be a Dingle success. Thank you, John Kennedy. Thank you, Liam Brosnan. After the break, we speak hurling.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Not changing codes. We're still with the GAA, but now we speak about the discipline of hurling. And I'm delighted once again to have James McCarthy and Ristardo Ferran on the line. Good evening, lads.
Thanks, Tim. How's it going? How are you doing?
Good. I didn't get a chance to wish you Happy New Year, but I suppose on what, the 12th of January, I can still wish you Happy New Year, can't I? But there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening, lads, on the hurling pitch. And as we say, Kerry have been out twice in the past week. Their latest game was against Tipperary, James. And Tipperary senior hurlers, of course, defeated Kerry to finish their Munster Co-op Senior Hurling League with one win and one draw. 116-107. So you're talking about coming off the Waterford game, James. I take it was a marked improvement.
It was night and day, really, because Tim, it looked like you put out your two squads, really, virtually. It was a total different team. This is your best, it's almost your best Kerry team you could have that was out against Tipperary on Sunday. Almost the best team you could have. There wasn't many, maybe one or two more lads you could put into that, you could really say it would make a difference to the team, but that was as good as you had in the county. And look, you look at Tipperary, what they put out. They made a few changes themselves. They brought in 8 or 9. It just happens, Ian Cahill said himself afterwards, it just happened that there were 8 or 9 lads from last year's All-Ireland winning team on that, just on the day. Like he said, it just happened that way because they wanted to give lads games, maybe their first time back. Like, but it was a huge difference. Like, and it's a pity, Tim, you know, that we went so poor on the Wednesday. I would have liked to get something out of that game as well, out of the Waterford game. I thought we missed the trick there a little bit. That we didn't just, you know, try and get a handle on our team and see how we were. So we had two really good games. So Wednesday was pointless.
James, was that? Yeah, that's the point I was making. Is that demoralising then when you were really, really put to the sword? And I suppose, do some teams, I heard years ago, Brian Cody, when they went at a team, it's your Kilkenny, you don't give anyone a soft touch. Is that the case with when you meet these teams and they don't do any good to those so-called weaker counties?
It's an opportunity. This is a competition we should be putting on our strongest team every day because we're playing teams above our level. So if you go down to Waterford, and there's no disrespect to lads that played. I know. I've been in that situation myself. If you're playing with a team with 15 changes, actually, maybe none of your main starters, and like you couldn't put their sword like that, 37 points, what message is that to a young fella? What message is that? Like, some of those lads didn't even make the match to the panel on Sunday.
Where are you going?
You don't build a team that way. I didn't like that. I thought we could have used both panels. Could have used just adding players. I'm sure you could water around the whole panel at that
night. Ristard, would you agree and concur with James on that line that it's a bit unfair when the two games and what you did for the second game?
Yeah, I suppose I made the journey. We made the journey, my wife and I, up to Waterford on Wednesday night. A long journey, and it was a tough game. No doubt about it. They really put us to the sword, a bit like Kerry footballers with Waterford yesterday, I suppose. Yeah, I was surprised when I heard about that there were going to be two different teams, and certainly Wednesday night it was a tough lesson. And as James said there, Waterford, they showed us no mercy. They ran at us and ran at us, and they kept going for goals even when they were well up, shall we say. But you know, it was a tough evening for Kerry. Then yesterday, you know, it was as I said, it was night and day. We put out a much stronger team yesterday, led at half time, and you know, talking to Tipperary guys, they really complimented the Kerry approach yesterday, and it was very encouraging. Very encouraging. Now the day wasn't great, but there were some great performances yesterday, and you know, this is what we needed yesterday. We needed this performance. Heading into the league and later on into the Christian ring, you need that bit of a bounce, you know.
And I suppose, James, that you have to look at the level that Kerry are playing, and when you see guys playing in the Munster or other counties playing the Munster Senior Championship in hurling, and then you'd say, you know, how the categories dropped, no different to intermediate, junior in Kerry from senior. You have to kind of measure it in that way as well, don't you?
Yeah, you do, really, Tim. You look at it, I suppose, Kerry, they're playing at two levels below that. This is Liam McCarthy's winners. You're talking about winning the Christie Ring. But look, that should be your target, Tim. That should be your benchmark now. That's your benchmark. This Kerry team should not drop below that performance now. This should be the whole year. Go at that level, go at that. And every fella that's in there should be thinking, right, this is what I can do. Like, it's been said by a lot of people, look, we matched Tipperary and Santorini. Why not carry that into our league form? Target your league. Then set yourself really up for Christoline, and you should be bouncing off the ground by the time you hit Christoline, and you should be well ahead of the competition that are in the Christoline, because that's a very winnable competition, Tim, with teams that are in it, and you know who's there, and we know even the fixtures will be out. Like, you know ourselves, we're well able to win that. We're better than that. We're a Joe McDonough team operating in Christoline, unfortunately, and it's just sad to say that. And that was a Joe McDonough team out last Sunday, and fellas, Chris Darrell will tell you, that team, if we had that in the Joe McDonough, we'd be in good shape.
Restart, can they do what James is requesting, carry on and build on that performance?
Of course. I mean, if James says something, then that has to be done. But you know, I suppose, going back to what you were saying there, I mean, yesterday we were talking about 8 or 9 players starting. Tipperary Live, I was looking at a report there, they had 17 All-Ireland winning medal panellists there yesterday. So as James says, if we can keep that level, that intensity, because we have lads who have come back who are top class players. We saw Jason Diggins, for example, now yesterday. You know, a rock at centre back. You know, lads like that coming back, it's fantastic, you know. And that drives the team on then, you know. So yes, we have a stronger team this year. Now we've lost a few lads as well, but we've strong lads coming back. And that augurs well certainly for the league and for the Christie Ring. But as James says, there's no point yesterday just coming along like and saying, oh, what a great performance yesterday. Now, we should have no problem with Derry and things like that. But I suppose Tipperary thought the same thing coming down yesterday. They thought they'd have it easy against Kerry. They didn't. So that means that when we play against teams that we should be beating, we may not get it easy either. So we can't be complacent, and we have to keep that intensity going.
Well, only time will tell the story, lads. I'm caught for time myself. That is the operative word this evening. But thanks a million for coming on with us tonight, and we look forward over the next couple of weeks, look forward to the league as well, to see our Kerry developing. So a big thank you to both James McCarthy and Restardo Ferran as we take our next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back here to Terrace Talk, and now we change codes. We speak basketball, because what a weekend we've coming up. Garvey's Tralee Warriors heading to Dublin to play in the National Cup, and I'm delighted to have in studio part of the coaching and members, and that is Kevin O'Donoghue. Players as well, I've Padraig Fleming and Keane O'Sullivan. You're all very welcome, lads, to Tara's Talk.
Thank you.
Kev, you might move a little bit closer to that mic. Kevin, first of all, it must be really satisfying for the coaching and the management team to have a team on the big day. The National Cup is huge.
Oh, it's huge. I suppose it's the highlight. It has the razzmatazz about it, like, you know, live TV, like, you know, the big build up, like, you know. It always held a special place in our sport, like, you know, the first couple of weeks in January. And for these guys to get there, something special, like, you know, because there's a big transition in our team from last year to this year. We're blooding a lot of new guys, a lot of youngsters coming through who had a lot of talent on all the way up through the age groups. So, like, we were probably at start of the year, we wouldn't have been favourites to get there, but the boys had to fight all of the odds, and now this is their chance to go and shine, like.
And Kevin, has this all culminated from, I suppose, underage and the work that's done, I suppose, in Tralee and the district of Tralee with
definitely, yeah. Like, so come back to when the Warriors started 10 years ago, there was a vision of to look after the young players of Tralee through Brennan's and Magic, and the coaching that has gone on there, the coaching that has gone on in the schools in Montauk, which is like an academy of basketball up there. They're always in the All-Ireland finals and stuff. And now Brennan's next day as well, during the 18 team, are playing in the National Cup final as well. So this gives them a pathway to go and play a senior level. We're trying to keep our players here in Tralee and trying to put Tralee on the basketball map.
Patrick Fleming, you're Cora man, and another basketballer, a former basketballer, met you on the way going out there, Liam Brosnan.
Yeah.
And he said that, I think there was a Four Nation tournament back in his day. It was played in England. I think he said London. And your dad went over that time when he was playing in the Four Nations.
Yeah, for sure. Liam's home house is next to our farmhouse at home, yeah. Liam and my dad were great friends all along, yeah. So dad, yeah, has fond memories of that, going over with his dad, Johnny, yeah.
And you're not the only Fleming brother that plays basketball. Another man out injured?
Yeah. My brother Aaron, he'd be on the squad as well this year. He came up with me this year to the Super League team. Unfortunately, he's out with a back injury at the moment, but he's still a big part of the team, yeah. So he'll be there on the bench cheering us on.
Well, we see with basketball, I know it's, I suppose, primarily in the towns of Kerry, but guys like yourself, fellas like Liam and John Tehan, I take it they were the guys, when you go into the community hall in Curra, you see photos of these guys. And I suppose that's your first taste of wanting to emulate what these guys have done.
Absolutely, yeah. Curra's, it's a massive sporting area, especially with rugby as well, athletics. But basketball is always my go-to sport. Liam and John Tehan, obviously, legends, yeah. They played with Tralee Tigers back in the day when they won their cups. So hoping, we can try and emulate that as well.
And I speak to another player beside you, Keane O'Sullivan. Keane, you have, for our listeners, because you're definitely the tallest man that has come into the studios here on Radio Kerry in a while. You stand at...
Yeah, I suppose they don't know on the radio, anyway, but I'm 7'2".
7'2", it's pretty hot, yeah. Keane, you've been out of the country as well, in which your basketball exploits. So, well, the experience of that, you've brought that back as well, playing under different coaches, different regimes. They look at the game probably in a different way. Yeah. Does that stand you in good stead, and you can spread that knowledge with the rest of the players, stroke?
Yeah, coaching? I was over in America for about 5 years, and then COVID happened. And I suppose at the time I thought I was going to live there forever. I didn't think I was going to move home. I thought I was coming home for 2 weeks. And I went over to Spain. Then obviously I was going to play with Tralee that year. Going to come back and play with the Warriors. And season got shut down then because of COVID, so I actually moved to Spain there. I played 2 seasons in Spain, moved to Germany, didn't really like it, went back to Spain, and then kind of came home again. I was supposed to only come home for the summer, and that was 3 years ago, and I suppose I didn't look back. I just fell in with the boys and love it.
And fall in with the boys, have you seen a development with those from the management, the coaching, to the players that they now have, the quality of player they have?
Yeah, I suppose, like, you look at it there, we have Magic and Brendan's, like, together, you know, there's serious rivalry in the, you know, in the county league and everything, but, like, the boys come up playing against each other, with each other and everything, and there's a serious, like, team chemistry there, you know, family aspect, you know, all the boys are very close, you know, fellas playing with each other for years.
And the Americans bring something else as well, but you have to have that good Irish player as well to work on what they can deliver.
Yeah, I was chatting to Jordan, one of the Americans there, about it, Jordan Perkins, and he was saying, like, basically the way he looks at the league is, you know, your Americans come in, you know, they do their job, but what will win you a game or win you a championship or a cup is the Irish fellas as well, you know. You need that strong base there.
Kevin, can I talk to you about your semi-final as well, that the potential it showed, and I was listening, actually, we were coming from Páirc Uí Chaoimh, we were covering those frantic games and the other code, Gaelic football, but Botty and Mr. Fleming were on, and they were delivering a great story, and it felt like, this is listening to commentary, and we do have to listen to other fellas at times, myself and Ambrose, it felt like the you knew where you were in the first 7 or 8 minutes, and it was like saturating and absorbing what the opposition had, and then kind of coming in with your own plays.
Yes, I suppose when you get to the semi-final stages, like, you know, in the finals, you're hoping that the team you put out will get off to a good start, and they get to the pitch of the game. Like, you know, everybody wants to play well, but you knew after the first three to four minutes our boys were on it. Like, you know, we were aggressive on defence. Like, you know, we were controlling the boards. We were getting out in the break quick. Like, you know, we were scoring. The boys got a bit of a purple patch. So Marion, but our boys came right back. Like, you know, and in the first half we were disappointed. We weren't up more. Like, you know, but then in the third quarter, Marion actually came back, fair play to them. We was level at one stage, but our boys never panicked. They kept plugging away. They knew, they stuck to the game plan, and they played and they kept going at it. Like, you know, and they got their just rewards, which is great to see. Like, you know, that they didn't panic come to big occasion, because especially with a lot of new young fellas playing their first minutes at that sort of level, like, you know, in the big arena. So it was good to see.
Patrick, you obviously learned a lot about yourself in that, I suppose, in any code, if you're in All Ireland, semi-final is a vehicle to get to a final. But obviously you learned about yourself and a lot about yourself in that. It was a lot of play seemed to be I'm only visualising what I was hearing, but
yeah,
it was a controlled play by you.
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, firstly, actually a tough game, tough night, but everyone really, you know, got in behind the team, to be fair. And like Kevin said, you know, they came back, UCD, they drew it level in the third quarter, but we kept calm, and, you know, really the, obviously our two Americans and our professional Daniel Jack Bytus, took us out, but it was all us Irish guys as well, really.
Olaf came in with a couple of three-pointers.
Olaf, yeah, was massive. James Fernandes, Stephen Baller, Daniel Baller, Keane Sullivan, Keelan Crowe, everyone really put the shoulder to the wheel, and obviously the captain, Owen Quigley, was massive as well. So yeah, that got us off the line, and looking forward to Saturday night.
I don't know what your first five is, Keane, but everyone wants to play from the start, I take it. Or is it a sort of game that you know you're going to get your minutes game time?
Yeah, I suppose it can depend on the night as well. Who's hitting shots, who's playing well, who's, you know, dogging it all on defence. You know, we have a team, you know, anyone can really finish the game, you know. You watch it there. Steve Bowler's finished the last two or three games for us in crunch time, you know. He's, what, 23, 24, young Irish guy, just came up throughout the system. And he's
Shown maturity.
Exactly, yeah.
So you must have a huge balance. I might go to our phone lines as well. We've Mr. Basketball himself on the line, and that is, Councillor Terry O'Brien. Terry, you'll probably never get an introduction like you've just got. Welcome to Terry's Talk.
That's very welcome. Bye. Thanks, Tim. How are you? And thanks for having us on this evening. It's great to hear the lads talking there. Those three non-fringes have delivered me short awards.
That's for sure. I know Kevin with years, and I know the history of Padraig and Keane. Yeah, Keane is a travel man. Can I just ask you from an economical point of view, what does it mean to the town of Tralee, first of all, to have a team in a national final, Terry, and if you were to get over that line and reach, as we said earlier, the promised land?
Well, look, it's very important. It's very important for the club. You know, it's very important for our sponsors too. Like the lads, the Garmies, the McDonalds, the Greyhounds, the Castles, all these people, they all invest in us. And I suppose they're hoping that their few quid investment will, you know, turn up trumps like this on a day like next Saturday night. We'll be on TG Carr Live, and we'll be on Radio Kerry Live, and fellas will be shouting and roaring about us, you know. And I think that's important for the sponsors. It's important for us, you know. But again, it's the whole buzz. It's all about the basketball and having the crack. And you know, you speak to the youth fellas there who playing this for the love of the game, and who, you know, they get some stick there from John Dowling, the coach, and from Kevin. But you go up there and they're always laughing. It's always a hot ball. It's always, you know, it's always positive spirits. You know, getting closer to the finals, obviously getting more serious. But it's we're lucky. We have a good bunch here. Truly, basketball is very, very popular in Kerry, as we know. But in Castle Island and all these towns is great. But for the last few years, we've been very lucky. You know, the boys mentioned there about Magic and Brendan's. You know, and it's great to have that rivalry with the two clubs. So
that's where the
amalgamation. The amalgamation worked, and then Warriors worked. And you know, obviously, we'd like to have more success with the women at the moment. We're looking at what we can do, and we're talking to, you know, the ladies of the Warriors. But at the moment, it's a good place for the Warriors men. And again, look, Jesus, for the St. Brendan's boys on Saturday morning, we'll all be having our fingers crossed for those. But no, it's
good for the profile of the town as well, though, isn't it, Terry?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, it'll be talked about now nationally for the next few days again, and hopefully after Sunday they'll be talking about us bringing that cup back down to Tralee. So it's very important.
Is Jim Garvey not keeping you in Dublin on Saturday night, because Dingler playing on Sunday?
Oh, your staff. I'd say no. He's so distracted at Manchester United.
He's dead. Yeah, I'd say you can't mention any. He's concentrating on his own code that he's part of that management team with Dingle.
I surrounded them tonight to me with all the players, and I said, "I want a straight answer now." I said, "Which is more important? You know, is it Saturday night with the basketball or Sunday with England?"
Yeah.
He couldn't answer me.
He's looking at the bigger picture.
And there was a 7 foot 2 man there alongside you. Looking
I know.
And he was saying, "You better say the right thing." I'm telling you, no, but I know. But
absolutely, Kevin O'Donoghue. Again, being a coach, being a finalist, brilliant. You're up against Ballincollig. You ran him very close in the league. They're after a defeat this weekend, aren't they?
They are, yeah. This past weekend. First loss in 13 games.
Yeah, but you can't read too much into that either.
No.
You know, a final is a final and it brings out a different, it takes on a life of its own.
A final is different from a league. In the league, you've got to play well for the majority of it, you know, to win the league. But in a cup final, you only have to play well once, like, you know, and you can win the cup. I think we're two evenly matched teams. We match up well to each other. First game was a real humdinger. We're winning for most of the game, probably last in the last 30 seconds, maybe due to a bit of inexperience. But again, like, these boys have gained experience, like, you know, and we're going up to a full of confidence. We don't fear them, but you'd have to respect them for what they've done in the league so far. Like.
Quick question. Do you know your first five, and do the lads know the first five for Saturday night?
Yeah, the boys would know.
They would know?
Yeah.
You'd nearly know as well.
I would, yeah.
Padraig.
He's keeping his cards close.
I know. I work with him.
He's cute.
I work with him with years.
I know
that guy for years. Padraig, for you, looking forward to it. Big final, big crowd, big occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be ready and we'll give it our best.
Keen at 7 foot 2. You should be dunking those. You just reach up and... Are you looking for one of those special? Yeah. Are you going for three-pointers?
No, I'll be going for dunks. Anyway, hopefully. We'll see. We'll go for a win anyway.
Well, we're going for it. Terry, we're running out of time. I just want to thank you and wish you on behalf of us all here on Radio Kerry Sport. Likewise, Terrace Talk. We hopefully be a brilliant weekend for Garvey's, both Dingle in the football and likewise in the basketball. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for having us on, Terry.
Thank you, Kevin O'Donoghue. Likewise, Patrick Flynn.
Thank you.
Keane O'Sullivan, wishing you the best for the future. Coming up now is Mary Conroy Nipper. We won't say a trip to the cottage tokes us. Until next time, this is Tim Minehan saying goodbye.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.